What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. Ooh, ooh,
whoa, Lexus, take me home. Right, this is Joy 99.7 FM. It's about 4 minutes past 7 o'clock. And of course, the Thursday personality profile is coming up very shortly. And this evening, we're actually bringing you a playback of a very interesting conversation that I had with a great man. Yes, the Pro Vice Chancellor of the Ghana Communication Technology University, Professor Robert Abel Hinton. Yes, I had a conversation with him a couple, months back, and we thought it would be great to, you know, hear his story from serving as Deputy Vice Chancellor Academic at the University of Kigali in Rwanda and Rector of the Perez University in Ghana. He's got a very interesting story, and we capture it all in this conversation that I want you to listen to. Stay tuned in.
Hi, this is Nana Awindo. Listen to Personality Profiles with Lessons Bill. Get inspired, get nourished, and grow to be the best that you want to be. Personality Profile and 99.7 FM. I love it.
Hello, Ghana. My name is Senyo Jose, CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Alcohol Distributors. Keep listening to Personality Profile with Lessons Bill because it delivers the value that sets you apart for success.
I'm Vera Kwakufi, current affairs editor of BBC Africa. Keep listening to Lexus Bill on Personality Profile on Joy 99.7 FM. You could just be able to hear the best piece of advice that sets you on the course to success.
Hi, this is Mr. Simons. Keep listening to Personality Profile with Lexus Bill. This is the program that inspires you and brings you very close to your role models.
Hi, this is Nadia Ntanu, Miss Ghana 2013. Keep listening to Personality Profile with Lexus Bill every Thursday at 7 p.m. on Joy FM and be inspired.
Hi, my name is James Ebo White, or everyone calls me Uncle Ebo White. You know, what you'll be 5 years from now depends on only two things: the books you read and the people you meet. On Personality Profile, you meet the kind of people you need to meet to make your transition to your greatness. You want a program that would help you, inspire you, motivate you. Why bother to turn to other channels? Just stay here on Personality Profile and you get all the inspiration you need.
The King Kong banging on your chest.
You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock,
yeah.
You can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the hall.
You can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you can get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you ever even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
Champion.
Be a champion.
astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Yes, you could be sitting in the Hall of Fame and the world will know your name. Good evening, Ghana. Welcome to Personality Profile here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Lexis Bill and I'm so happy that we have a Thursday evening again. But hey, I was excited about coming back, especially because of the guest that I have today. Yeah, sit back, relax and enjoy an hour of a great conversation that's going to inspire you, that you probably would want to share as well with your friends and family. So we're live on Facebook, okay? This video is live on Facebook and we're live on Joy 99.7 FM. Now get onto Facebook and share the link with your friends and family. You can drop it in the WhatsApp groups because look, my guest is one you'd want the whole world to listen to. Yeah, absolutely. Welcome aboard. Tonight, I spent time with one of the most amazing scholars of the 21st century. And that's not me exaggerating. No. If you can attain 2 doctorates and full professorship within 10 years and for 2 consecutive years be ranked as the AD Scientific Index by the AD Scientific Index as the leading marketing scholar in Africa, then truly you deserve all the accolades. Yeah. Yeah. My guest deserves it all and more. Yeah. It might sound all rosy and glamorous now, but the beginning was far from that. It's a story that you and I could pick some inspiration from, no doubt. In his own words, setbacks matter little if you have a God to lean on and you learn from your mistakes. Our confession is single. Even though our beginnings may be small, our end will be great. You will hear more of these from my guest himself. He has served as the Deputy Vice Chancellor Academic at the University of Kigali in Rwanda and Rector of the Perez University College in Ghana. He's also a Professor of Marketing and holds visiting professor appointments in universities in Europe and Africa, a widely published scholar. He's published in several internationally recognized journals and edits the Palgrave Studies of Marketing in Emerging Economies. He has been ranked for 2 consecutive years, 2021-2022, by the AD Scientific Index as the leading marketing scholar in Africa. He holds a DPhil in marketing and a PhD in international business economics from the Aalborg University Business School in Denmark. My guest is the Pro Vice Chancellor of the Ghana Communication Technology University, Professor Robert Ibu Hinson. Welcome, Prof.
Hey, Lexis. Good to see you, man.
I'm excited, man. Really good to see you.
You know, this studio always evokes very fond memories because I've been coming here for like 30 years. I was chatting with my friend Alex Banfo earlier today. We used to come here to meet Azeez Izzah Jr.
Oh, my goodness, back in the day.
things we do for laughs. They would put ourselves in a bus. They would travel here and come and talk about things that have to do with how young people should live their lives. And
I've been here
with Komla Duma, with Kojo Nkrumah, with Albert Okran. And, you know, I started in advertising. So, I mean, these were the days of Samens and also on Mensa and Philippa Yesu. And so multimedia, they have been there from the beginning. So,
so you're back home.
Yeah, absolutely.
you're back home.
in my purple tie.
There you go. Purple tie, purple pocket square, purple socks.
Absolutely.
And he's in the purple seat as well.
Absolutely, yes. So it's
look,
all good.
I need this camera to pan from top to bottom so you guys can actually see. I didn't know you were a fashionista like that.
I'm trying. You can't be a marketing professor and not be dapper. To be
incongruous. You are totally dapper. Look,
we try.
The outfit is just fit for the occasion. We need to celebrate you. You're a great man. And I'm so happy that you're here today.
Thank God I'm here as well. Yes, please.
I remember working with you on the Educational Scholarship Reality Show.
Absolutely.
The Challenge with Tigo back in the day.
Absolutely.
This was some good times. Right? With the British Council. Yeah.
Absolutely. The conveners in South Africa now make a lot of money. What's his name again?
Oh, really?
He's
South the gentleman from British
Council. Yes,
yes, I remember him. Now.
Yeah, doing very well. Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm excited.
Absolutely.
Well, it goes full circle eventually, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, so let me congratulate you first.
Thank you.
Because I haven't had the opportunity to congratulate you personally since you were appointed the Pro VC of GCTU, actually.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so very much.
I'm sure that's a very exciting appointment for you.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, what makes it so fascinating is that, you know, GCTU is 2 years old from a public university standpoint because we got our charter in 2020.
Okay.
Now, this is a deja vu moment for me because, you know, I joined another agency called Originate several years ago and we built the brand from scratch. So GCTU is almost like a flashback to my practitioner days because I'm working with a phenomenal vice chancellor called Professor Henry Ofuakwa and they just completed a 10-year strategic plan. So everything is new and fresh and exciting and innovative. And if you look at the act establishing the university, we are supposed to run information technology related courses. So, I mean, if you think of metaverse and AI and IT, it's like the best university to work in at this time. So, I'm very happy to be here. Yes,
very futuristic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, the future is digital. You don't need a PhD to know that mobile, for instance, took over long ago, and Africa has been forefront in mobile technology issues. And this week, we've had the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission coming through to look at 13 new programs from diploma all the way to PhD in issues around computer science, IT, IS. So, Lexis, trust me, it's a fantastic opportunity. And
I'm so happy for you.
I want to make the most of it.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much.
I remember listening to you at the African Regent Hotel at breakfast meeting for business executives and professionals.
Absolutely.
With Bishop Ediadi.
Absolutely.
And the Macarius team.
Absolutely.
And one thing that stood out for me was the fact that you emphasized the role of God in all your achievements.
Absolutely.
God
Absolutely.
Has been good, Prof.
Oh, he's been magnanimous. So, look, when you lose your dad around the time you're writing on O-levels in Achimotu School, and God still looks after you to become a full professor, you can thank him on a daily basis. And I'm not perfect, but I have a certain resolute fixation on God and what he can do for me. So my daily routine will be like a 4 a.m. start, pray for an hour, you go and run for an hour and a half, you come back. And then, you know, once the day is committed to God, it will work.
Yes.
And that's how I go into every day and trust God for the kind of help he grants me on a day-to-day basis. And one thing I also enjoy is eating the word of God ravenously and then using it to deal with life situations as they unfold on a day-to-day basis. So I keep telling everybody who's a Christian business person that it's a non-negotiable requirement for success that you have a lot of the word of God in your belly. I mean, you should know what's in Psalm 37, verse 4 and verse 5. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, he will grant you desires of your heart. The verse 5 says, commit your way also unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. When you cut to Proverbs 16:3, it also says, commit your plans to the Lord and they'll succeed. These are basic scriptures for living a good life. And I've been under the Lighthouse umbrella. September will be 28 years. Wow. I joined in 1994 when I went to first year. And my friend Philippa Agrimensa, then she's Philippa Coca, now she invited me. And we've been slinging it out since then. When I was in Rwanda, we opened the Lighthouse Kigali branch. I was there when the building was launched, you know.
Wow.
So I was sort of fellowshipping with them before I came back and joined the Macarius again. So God has been good to me.
God has been good. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I saw a tweet you posted back in 2020.
Yes.
You mentioned how you were an average student during O-levels, graduated with a second class lower.
My brother.
But later you get 9 A's and a B plus.
Yeah.
First year MBA, you joined UG at 29 without a PhD.
Absolutely.
At 39, you've 2 doctorates and full professorships.
Absolutely.
So, you know, your earlier results were not lack of brilliance. I mean, that's what I actually thought.
Yeah, it was.
Where,
so my
there
dad
some
had
other
just
factors.
Died. My dad had just died, and so when I got into Lagos, I think I wasn't as focused as I should have been. So the first 2 years were rough, but by the time I was getting to the third and the fourth years, I was beginning to coast.
Okay.
So I ended up with a very fascinating 3.23 grade point average. If I had gotten at 0.2 in addition, I would have gotten 3.25, which was an upper. But guess what happened? Because me, I knew I was disadvantaged, I went to the late director, the one, Professor Nkrumah, and I said, Professor Nkrumah, guess what? You know, we don't have an alumni association. How about you hire me for national service? So we built the School of Administration Alumni Association from scratch. We were in a room called G10. And we built it, mobilized it. And the man said, but if you build this alumni association, you take me for master's. So I want to do MPhil by the grace of God. I got 9 A's and a B+. My brother, I haven't looked back since then. Just believing God and moving. Hmm. When I was doing the...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The MPhil, I got 9 A's and a B+ in the first. I did my thesis and passed. Then I also went to Lagos. Now, when I joined, I didn't have a doctorate degree. But through a certain interesting confluence of circumstances, I ended up with a DPhil in marketing from Lagos itself, and then a PhD in international business from Aalborg University in Denmark. But let me share this with my listener, just so that we get a good perspective. I think I cut my marketing teeth in industry.
Okay.
So the 5 years I spent working on brands like Space Phone, then Acer, Symantec, Canon, APC, Microsoft. We launched the data bank, EPAC. We launched the Enterprise Life brand from beginning. So when it was born as ELAC, we were there.
Yeah.
So we did the Societe Generale brand. We metamorphosed it from SSB to SGSSB.
Right.
So I worked on like 50, 60 brands before I went to University of Ghana. And I'm always eternally grateful to God that I learned the rudiments of performance, meeting targets, making sales pitches before I joined a public sector entity. Now, I think that's so crucial because I think the discipline I learned was from working in industry.
Right.
Why am I making this point? I'm making this point because, you know, there's this debate around, are the graduates ready for town? The universities say, we just train generally. You train them the way you want.
Yeah.
And there's this to and fro. So, Lex, me, my simple take on this matter is this. I think those of us in the academy must consistently keep our finger on the pulse of industry. So we get a keen sense of the changing requirements of the workplace.
Yeah.
That way, we keep refining our curricula to speak to what industry wants. I don't support the school that says, oh, train them generally. When they come, you mold them into what? I think that there should be a middle ground. So that's why I'm so blessed that I had 5-6 years solid industry work. Yeah. And by the way, I started again through my friend Stero. He used to work here also on Mensa. He called me one day when I was in Lagos and said, a guy called Mr. Minka wants a salesperson for some Indotech or Gifex or something. So I started selling air conditioners and white Westinghouse air conditioners and refrigerators sometime 1996 because Stero gave me the lead. And then he set up a showroom around Farcote Food Complex in Alhaji. So I used to run from Lagos, come and sell this somewhere and run back to Lagos. So as for me, the Wallant Wallants, I started long ago just believing God to keep my eye on the ball. So yes, I've been doing this marketing thing for 26 years and it's been a blessing.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the curriculum and how it should be reviewed almost every year to meet industry needs and all. I read the piece by the president of Pennsylvania's second largest institution of higher education, Temple University, Jason Wingard. You actually shared that article.
Absolutely.
Titled, Consider This My Burning Platform, Memo for Higher Ed. So he intimated that the value of the degree has reached its peak and it's on the wane. there are a lot of factors to blame. I mean, cost affordability, to curriculum relevance, to the, you know, evolving skill needs, to advances in automation and technology and all of that. And even in the article, some employers said that, look, the college degree has ceased to be a guarantee that employers were going to get what they want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So his thoughts are that, look, we need to, just like you said, adapt to industry and review it every year.
Absolutely.
Do you see that happening in Ghana?
Okay, so in Ghana, the curriculum development cycles are so long that, I mean, from trying to incept a program to when it actually rolls out can be anything between 12 to 24 months. So it's a little tricky. However, I think that in lieu of a full review, you can be doing tweaks as you go along. I mean, if I teach a course called sales management, and I know there's a sales simulation software I must teach my students, I don't need the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission or the leadership of GCTU to tell me to inculcate that into my curriculum. So even if we don't get massive wholesale revisions at the corporate level, the individual lecturers who teach the individual courses, they need to innovate. I mean, my friend Dr. Kodmensa is very big on things like Destination Legon, and I think I saw him today or yesterday on Twitter or something talking about how it's coming on again. And this guy has been running these tourism fairs every year for the last, I don't know how many years. And the point of that is to get the students a practical feel of what it means to actually go into small retail and package Ghana as a destination, so on and so forth. So I think if we could move to reviewing this, and the Ghanaian standard today is 5 years. So when GTEC comes and says, Lexis Bill University, I've approved a course in health informatics for you, you are supposed to go back after 5 years to get it reviewed. 5 years is not bad, but the pace at which the world is moving, maybe we need to look at reviewing that horizon a bit. Because look, nowadays, you can take a digital marketing course, go to Coursera, Udemy, take something hot sweet, and with $200, probably have the skills that a BSc marketing student from a public university may not have. So when you get to the workplace, this guy with a $200 short course might actually deliver faster value than the guy who did the 4 years BSc marketing program.
Right.
Which is not to say the BSc marketing program is not good. But we need to start contextualizing what we offer in order to make them more ready for the business market.
You're in business mode, actually. Let me switch back to, to getting to know you a bit more.
That's fair.
Prof.
That's fair.
Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Oh, me, I grew up in Osu, just down the road from here, in a place called Osu CDC, Café de Coleman. And Osu CDC is very close to the Osu Presbyterian Church. And I went up towards the cemetery and then in front to a place called Metin Nursery School. Then I continued from there to another place called Richard School. Then I went from Richard, I passed through 37, and I went to Achibota School. So it's been a Metin, Richard, Achibota thing. But the thing with Achibota was that it was an interesting occurrence because my father was in Infantspim, and I'm sure if he was in Ghana at the time I was going to school, I would end up in Infantspim. He was house prefect in Sabapiko. But as it turns out, when I was going to Form 1, he was in the Gambia. So he said, for ease of visitation, I'll just stay in Achimota. So that's how come I ended up in Achimota. But
what did he do at the time?
My father.
Yes.
He was in insurance. He set up an insurance company called Senegambia Insurance with a guy called Babu Sise. So every holiday, I used to fly to the Gambia when I was in Achimota to go and do holidays and come back. Those were the days of Captain Kwachi Safu, Captain Fawson. And it was a good ride. So me, I learned long ago about things like Cote d'Ivoire, Liberia. I used to go and watch Jules Bokande. You know, he used to play for the Senegalese national team, Jules Bokande. So I used to go to Dakar to watch soccer sometimes with some of my father's friends. So I always pride myself that one thing that distinguishes the Hinson brand is that I know Africa very, very well. People know Heathrow, they know JFK, they don't know where Yundum International is. No, they can't tell you. They don't know what's happening in Sierra Leone or Liberia.
Yeah.
But I've done Liberia, I've done Sierra Leone, I know Senegal, I know Kenya, I know Botswana, I know Namibia, I know South Africa, I know different spots, I know Richards Bay, I know Durban, I know, like, Africa is my home.
Yeah.
And when I was leaving the industry to join academia, what happened was that I left a job that was paying me something like 12.7 million a month, old Ghana cedis, for one that paid me 2.7 million a month. Now, that's like taking a 1,000 cedi pay cut to leave a high-flying industry job to join a university where you're going to start from the bottom like a lizard about to climb a tree.
Yeah.
But I made that switch. And I remember my personal brand vision at the time was, if God would be gracious, I wanted to be the leading voice in marketing on the continent of Africa.
You told yourself that?
So last year when it happened, I told my mother, I was right. She said, hey, Nakona, get by me, get by me. Yeah, okay. And we all laughed because I didn't know she even remembered the time I met her, that this was one of the reasons why I wanted to become an academic.
Yeah.
That one day, if God would be so gracious, I'd probably be one of the, if I wanted to be one of the leading voices in market, not the leading.
Yes.
So last year, when the ranking was done out of 48,000 plus scholars and I was ranked, I was like, yes, the miracle has occurred. So when I mentioned it, she goes, hey, Babi, get Babi, Ojani Wonshe. And then we all laughed about it, you know. But so yeah, wow. That has been my story. And
So your upbringing sounds a bit privileged.
Do you know Kobolo Boys? What are you talking about? You know Dikos?
I mean,
do you know Dikos?
You go to Gambia for holidays.
No, do you know Dikos?
Go and watch football with daddy.
No, do you know Dikos?
I know Dikos.
Ah, okay. So when I was growing up in Osu, we were dealing with Dikos and gutter to gutter. So the people I grew up with, they were not Dadaba or anything. I think.
But you were Dadaba.
Well, if you add Merton to Richard Chachimota, I don't sound too Ijaba anymore. I always thought I was Ijaba. But after tonight, I think I'll revise my name.
You have to revise it because, I didn't even know the Richard part and the Merton. I'm like,
I went to Richard.
Look at you.
Like Nana Buidu and Elikem Kwenye. Very, very big people. Yeah, it's been a very good ride. God has been gracious, you know.
Was that your childhood dream?
To
get into marketing? And so to do what you're doing now, or probably be in academia.
So when I was in the School of Admin then, they used to laugh at marketing people that if you do marketing, you go and sell tomatoes, to a tomato seller. So the most fashionable courses were accounting, if you couldn't fall in accounting, you go and fall in banking and finance. Mm-hmm. Marketing was for like those who, you know, ironically, they said marketing for those who were not quantitative. My brother, if you study the leading marketing scholars in the world, your Philip Kotler and the rest, their PhDs were in chemistry, physics, mathematics, engineering. In fact, if you look at some of the biggest marketing people on this continent, their degree was not in marketing.
Mm.
It was in economics, engineering, statistics. So the myth that marketing is not quantitative and that if you want to read, you go and do marketing, I don't know where it came from. So, me, when I looked at myself, I saw that, no, this finance and accounting thing, it would take Takashi to do it. All this net present value amortization, something, working capital, all this thing. The blessing will not come from there. So, I found a path that I felt was more suited to my natural inclinations. Mm. My brother, I have not regretted one day. And you know, marketing, we are talking about the dollar that is battering the city. We talk about fundamentally changing the structure of our economy. Mm-hmm. We say big things like we have to export more. All these big words is marketing. Hey, listen, if we are finding products that are exportable, we are doing international business, export my international marketing. This thing we are doing now is marketing. You are delivering eyeballs. If this program works well, next time your advertising spend will go, people will come and buy.
Mm-hmm.
So marketing for me is the glue that holds everything together, because whether you like it or not, you are in marketing. You are a pastor, you are in marketing, you are an engineer, you are in marketing. So for both the entrepreneurial business and the multinational, marketing is an essential component of business success. That's why I love the subject too much.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Yes.
Good stuff. Yes. Well, if you're just joining in, Prof. Hinson is my guest on Personality Profile, and you can actually send in your messages. I know a lot of people are sending in some already.
My students.
Your students. Yes. You've got like thousands of students listening right now. And I'm sure we can do a roll call today if you've been lectured by Prof. Hinson. Yes. You can send us a WhatsApp message on 055-11111997 as we get to tell his story. We get to celebrate his journey.
Yes, please.
And I mean, you deserve it. You've done amazingly well for yourself, and we're proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Marketing scholar 2 years back to back in Africa.
It's a blessing.
Out of 48,000.
It's a blessing. And for me, though, let me confess, those accolades matter little if my scholarship doesn't benefit the continent. So if you follow me on social media, I've been waging some kind of argument the last week or two that, look, business scholarship that doesn't affect the business community, for me, is an exercise in futility. So you can get all the high H index 6, you can be cited by 5 million people. But if you're not helping to solve Ghana's marketing problems, Ghana's distribution channel, you're not helping people from export promotion or the Jospong Group or Enterprise Life or APSA. So the articles, what do you do with them? So I'm a very hands-on type of person. I sit on several boards. I do very intense consulting. I train a lot. Next week, for instance, I'm flying to Durban on Tuesday, and I'm going to speak at the opening of a brand new business school at the Durban University of Technology on Wednesday evening. And I feel so proud that I'm being given this privilege, because I know the vision of that school, and it aligns with my vision about building a better Africa through marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that pushes Africa forward, if marketing can be involved in it, my hands are up, I want to join. So I think scholarship must benefit the community, or it's just scholarship that is just there for the sake of scholarship. That's my personal philosophy. Not everybody agrees with me, because people feel sometimes you must be a good professor for the sake of it. For a business scholar in particular, I cannot accept that notion. So I think your scholarship must affect the community.
You're doing well in academia, and I'm literally wondering why you decided to make the switch from industry to academia.
Oh, okay. So my late father said, you always leave the stage when the applause is loudest. At the time I was leaving, what hadn't I done? Every big brand, look, from Dr. Barnos, NTAC Limited, through Data Bank, through Steers. I mean, I worked on the famous Steers. Come on. So we had done it all, you know, and I felt as if that was the good point to transition. And trust me, if you call my former boss, Mr. John Netirana, who is now the president of the International Advertising Association, and anybody who used to work there at the time, even when I left, they could call and ask, okay, so Merchant Bank, where were we? So we stayed friends, and there was no issue with my leaving. Until today, we are still friends. So I transitioned one because I felt academia gave me a wider stage to be a blessing. I mean, if you work in advertising, you can serve 30 clients, 40 clients. But in academia, you can serve a million people, literally. It's almost like deciding to become a pastor. You minister to thousands instead of just 10 people.
Yeah.
So I felt it to be a bigger stage, and I felt I had a lot more to offer. Plus, I had the private vision of one day becoming one of the leading places in marketing in Africa,
But so, it didn't make sense financially at the time.
No. People thought I was mentally incapacitated. Like, what did you do? I said, what did you do, sir? You know, sometimes, you see, if you structure your thinking only around pecuniary gain or financial gain, you run as fast as you're supposed to run. But if you see beyond a paycheck, you will last for a very, very long time. And so when I was making the switch, I remember my boss, the late Daniel Chung Jr., called me and wanted to negotiate around salary. I said, the money did go down. I said, really? Okay, there you go, Figo. And that was it, because I mean, like, I wasn't going to Carl Bank or to Standard Chartered or anything. So to the extent that I wasn't going to get a bigger salary, he understood the mission and understood what I wanted to do. And he gave me his fullest blessing. Till today, I'm so honored that he gave me his fullest blessing. Yes.
Wow.
So, I did the switch, and I haven't regretted one day since. I mean, it's been an excellent ride. I haven't regretted. I mean,
I'm sure that when you did the switch as well, it wasn't rosy. You had to adjust. What was one of the challenges?
My brother, rosy, I don't even know what that word means. So that time, you know, when you're leaving an agency where you are like number three, CEO, CEO, and then you are account director, and you're going to an university where you are starting from the bottom as some junior lecturer, I mean, sharing office. Hey, it was tough, but you see, because we had made up our mind. Oh, and by the way, before I went to Lagos, I passed through Ashesi for one semester. So I taught marketing Ashesi for one semester to the very first group of BSc admin students. So people like Patrick Quanson, Mami Dufie, I taught those people marketing. And I always feel proud that given the phenomenal success Ashesi has become, at least I have one semester plugged in there as well. and then I have 90 and a half plugged into Legon, and we'll see what I can plug into GCTU as well. But hey.
But hold up. Yes. Why one semester?
So you know, I was transitioning. So I was going to Legon anyway. So it was just to test how Laboni was and how the school was. but it was a good experience. I mean, look, one thing I can say for Ashesi is that, look, this is 2003, 18, 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even as far back as then, they were using something called Markstrat, which was like a marketing simulation software. So Ashesi, they saw the thing long ago, and it's something I really, really appreciate them for. But what has happened to me since academia, my brother, I've been to Warwick, I've spoken on Brandy Africa in Warwick, I've been to Said Business School, I've been to Copenhagen Business School, I've spoken at UNISA, I've become like a global ambassador. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't think advertisers would have given me that sort of stage. Right. So when you put it all together, I still think God has been very gracious.
Yeah.
And I've affected many more people than I would have done if I'd stayed in the private sector.
What were the challenges on this journey?
For the academia journey?
Yes.
Hey. So now I don't know whether I can say it and still keep my job. It was really rough because when you come from private sector, ideas can be quite radical. So you find that something you think should be done in 2 minutes takes 2 weeks. And you're supposed to understand that the context doesn't allow for speed. And you were built on speed. So for the last 20 years, I've been constantly trying to adjust to the fact that you don't work in a private sector. And look, to confess that it's a 20-year battle shows that it's been a real battle. Like,
I can tell.
I'm like, what are you doing? Go. I mean, like, look, you can send a document. You worked on a document after church on a Sunday for 7 hours. And then you don't get a response for 4 days. And I'm like, but me, I made a sacrifice on a Sunday to do a document. Charlie is like, boys, they watch the document. It's like, Charlie, what they go on? And you know, you so every time you're like, take it. And my wife keeps saying, Charlie Bob, relax. You see, the thing, people don't work like you work.
Yeah.
So that has been my biggest challenge working in a public sector university. But I found that if you slowly build consensus and you slowly bring people around, eventually the vision will be sold and eventually get where you're going.
Okay.
It may not be as fast, but you still get there. Look, I was in Kigali a few months ago when I got a call from one of my fathers, Mr. Alex Banff, who used to be the MD of GSMF. So we did Champion Condoms with him. We did Bazooka Condoms. And he had written this book called Guts and Grit.
Oh, that's the one you have over there.
You have it, yeah. Something about successful entrepreneurs in Ghana.
No, I don't have it.
You don't have this one?
No, I don't have it.
Okay, I'll organize one for you.
Yeah.
And it was about six successful Ghanaian entrepreneurs. I profiled them in this book. So he said to me, Bob, you know what? Can you do a forward to the book? I'm like, oh, why not? I mean, like, if your father comes and says, do a forward to a book, it's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
So I did it for him. And it was one more example of how joining the academy gives me latitude to be a blessing to people who have blessed me in the past as well. Mm. So the academy has not, sometimes not as fast as I want it to be, but I've learned to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And then also sometimes I find that the connection with town is not as, the town gown connection is not as strong as I want it to be sometimes. And I get the sense sometimes that because I came from town, I feel it should be a natural connection.
Yeah.
Things are changing though, because I find more universities doing the industry. Look, when I did my PhD in Denmark, we had something called industrial PhDs. Mm. So you can be a regular student or an industrial PhD student. Industrial PhDs is where a Nestle takes maybe $50,000 and says, we are putting a PhD position in the Department of Marketing at the GCTU Business School. People can apply. You, Lexis, you apply and then you are chosen. Nestle pays for your PhD from start to finish and pays the university stipend as well. So there are all these innovative industry, academia type collaboration that I pray that sooner than later would also characterize the Ghanaian university environment. But all said, you know, Smooth right. I did senior lecturer in 2.5 years, did HOD, climb, did ASO prof, did full prof, did the two PhDs. I've been head of department for 7 years. I was head of Hilal Iman Hall for three years. I was director of institutional advancement for a year and a half. So Legon has been a big, big blessing to me. Then I went to Rwanda and I've come back to the Ghana Communication Technology University. So I've enjoyed myself tremendously. Yes.
How was Rwanda? You got that job last year.
Yeah, I did.
How long did you stay there?
For about eight, nine months. It was very short, but...
Why was it so short?
Good question. So, when I saw the advert for the Ghana Communication Technology University job, I had to make a decision and to stay in Rwanda or come home. And so, when I sort of did the calculation regarding big brand, Rwanda, Paul Kagame, Amin. And you know, when I became acting VC, that story sort of took over Ghana by storm and I got people tweeting to thank me. The Rwandans were totally blown away. Then I had to remind myself of why I became an academic, you know. And I became an academic to help, not to be a rock star. You know, rock star is good. And Rwanda was my rock star, like, you know. So I went to have a discussion with the people there, the big men there. And then we came to some sort of fantastic compromise. I had a senior scholar friend who was based in South Africa, but I was Tanzanian. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was that we sort of agreed that he would come and become vice chancellor because I transitioned from deputy VC to acting VC. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was leaving to come to Ghana, the guy had arrived in Rwanda and taken over the reins of the university.
Okay.
So at any rate, I think it was a seamless transition and I didn't leave some sort of lacuna that nobody could fill.
Prof, you still not answered my question.
What was the question? Why did I come? My family is here. You cry. What are you saying? My family is here. And my brother, if you can help in Ghana, you felt Rwanda small. I mean, so I came home to help. And honestly, the technology thing too excited me because, you know, technology is the future. And if I get to work in a technology university, I felt like it would be a good transition in the way my career had evolved. So one, home is home. Two, technology was a big thing for me.
Yeah,
we want to do some magic at that university. And my VC says he's creating, he calls it a Las Vegas Silicon Valley. Yeah, anytime he says, like, Silicon Valley is one part. But he said, the razzmatazz is the Las Vegas part. Being a marketing boy, I can relate to Las Vegas Silicon Valley. So we are pushing hard.
Oh, dear. Yeah, good stuff, good stuff.
Absolutely.
Look, before I actually get to the message, lots of messages are coming in. You have idea.
Yes,
folks are sending in messages on our Facebook live feed.
Yes,
you can also get onto our Facebook live feed and put your comments there. Our WhatsApp number is choked at the moment. I read the messages, but I won't know how your stay in Kigali was. And how different is the curriculum and the structure of academia in Kigali?
I'm very happy you asked that question. You know, in Rwanda, in my university, the University of Kigali I was in, I found that we actually pay by modules. I was so fascinated. So you don't pay the regular semester fee. No. You pay 111. So you take one course, you pay. Take what you pay.
Oh, okay.
If you don't pay, you're not going. I thought it was such a revolutionary way of paying university fees. Mm-hmm. And I was quite blown away. That was one. Two, it was a very culturally diverse university. On the faculty side, we had like maybe 12, 13 different nationalities, not on the student side.
Mm.
And so I found myself working with Tanzanians, Ugandans, Kenyans, you know, and we recruited a marketing director from Ghana as well. So it was culturally diverse, and the country works, you know. And I also live not too far from the university, so I could keep the weight down by walking to and from work every day. So that was also a blessing. No plenty car and traffic and pollution. Just walk and go, walk and go, walk and go. So that also worked very, very well. And then I got to host some fantastic people there as well. I had a lot of Ghanaians coming through. Professor Bochi came through. We had a fantastic time. The dean of the Gimpa Law School. So I think I got to do some excellent ambassadorial work as well, and hosted quite a number of my friends. My friend Brazi came through, Kwame Buedi, and yeah. It was good. It was good.
But let's talk about the depth of the courses.
Well, that's a tricky one. So the courses were not markedly different from what we have here. The only novelty was the way students paid to patronize the courses. But we still had evening school, we still had day school, which is not new. I mean, at the University of Ghana Business School, we have all those options as well. So there was not a big difference in that general regard. But all said, what was really interesting for us was the diversity of cultures on faculty side and student side.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me read some of the messages coming in. Lots of them, actually. About time, Prof. Hinson. You are marketing. Congratulations. That's from Barbara Eastman. All right, Barbara, thank you so much. Prof. Hinson is an amazing personality to work with, full of energy and very inspiring, from Dr. Astravo, who's the HOD for the economics department at GCTU.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. I think you help me out with some of the messages, because
Barbara is my senior from school.
Okay.
Yes.
Prof is the most wanted marketing scholar in the world.
Preach.
My mentor and a firebrand of a unique niche. I love how he exudes unimaginable energy than those he's even older than.
Merci.
Sawa. Richard, can you take your time with rolling the messages, guys? There's so many of them. They're just rolling through them. Hi, Alexis. I first met Bob Hinson, now Prof, in my first year of campus. I think he was in the final year with Komla Dumo. He was very well-spoken and held great discussions. He could easily strike a friendship with anyone and start intellectual discussions. I'm not surprised that he has excelled in academia. Congratulations to him. Ayuko, that's from Essie. All right, Essie, thank you so much for your message as well. I'm enjoying the show big time. Good evening, Lexus, my marketing lecturer for a year at UGBS. Tell him I remember him for wearing football club jerseys to lecture halls. Prof. Hinson's a top guy, Alexis. Tell him each one of us who passed through him loves him. And that's from Mamley in Cantonments. Life has taught you a lot of lessons, Prof.
Yes.
From working, your working life, relationships with people.
Yes.
Family.
Yes.
What's the greatest lesson life has taught you?
I know this will sound almost hackneyed or like a cliche, but like Luke 1:37 says, with God nothing shall be impossible, because some of the adversities I've had to contend with, it has taken God to see me through. And the thing is that when you go through one battle and you survive, it gives you the courage to go to the next and next and the next. So I think that just focusing on God's word and what it can do for me has taught me resilience. Mm. And also, I think one thing I've also learned is that we grow through networks. And I keep saying that a PhD will not prosper you. Your network will prosper you. And I find shockingly that people don't intentionally build their networks. And I keep saying that, look, in life, anything that confronts you with two phone calls, you should sort it out. Any type of problem, because you need to build a network. You have old school mates, you have churches you go to, you have former professors, you have friends and family, you have people you meet when you are jogging on the road. All these things, they matter. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, I was 24 kilos than I am right now, and I decided to sort of make some changes in my lifestyle, and it was very tough at the beginning. But I always testify that I started that journey by going on a 10-day retreat. I went to Tanzania and South Africa for 10 days, and I went to prayer. I said, God, help me. So I came back, started eating, started exercising. And 4 or 5 years, I think I've kept off the weight magnificently. So it's been God from day one. And when I say it, sometimes my wife says, tell them you work hard. If you say it's God, you get an emergency. I said, oh, fine. No. So she goes, hey, Bob, hey, go for camera, go whoa, and get my camera. So I sort of have to place that in perspective, because she says that if you keep talking about praying in tongues too much, people would think that alone is. So, yes, I think she's listening. They are not in the country now, but take it up with drink camera. I can hear in war. So I think
what's her name?
Duchess. She's like the Duchess of York. She's called Duchess Natiki Hinson, yes.
So,
she's away now. But it's been God from day one. But say, I work like a bull. My goodness, I work hard. Hey, I work very, very hard, because the Bible says in Proverbs 14:23 that in all labor there's profit, but the talk of the mouth tends to penury. Now, I keep telling people that if you're a Christian, and the bandit is that labor yields profit, if there's no profit, there's a problem with your labor. The labor must necessarily yield profit. Mm-hmm. So I work like a bull, and I consistently measure the profit as a result of the work. If the tally is getting weak, I believe God for new strength, because the profit must show.
Yeah.
And it shows in a multiplicity of ways. So I think it's been God from day one, but reliance on God has taught me to make profit, and the profit shows up in a multiplicity of ways. That has been my blessing.
What's your greatest fear?
My greatest fear. My yearly annual checkups. Anytime I'm afraid that I go and I pass. I think today I passed again. So my wife was telling me, "Ah, but that no shock being get take you lenoko near call you as I no shake behave you." Then she'll laugh. So, I mean, apart from that, look, God is very, very, very gracious to me. Once I pass those annual fiscals, I get new vim to tackle the next year. Then I get afraid again when I'm going. But I was told this morning to stop fearing. So even that one is passed. I think my greatest fear sometimes is that I'll not be able to fully fulfill God's mandate before I go back. Let me explain that a little. If you've been in Lighthouse for 28 years, you are taught one thing, that when all is said and done, it's about soul winning. Mm. But some years ago, I used to be very aggressive with soul winning. When we're in Koligono, for instance, every Sunday after church, we'll go to Mampubi Police Station, Koligono Police Station, Kolebu Police Station, Testano Police Station. Lexis, by the time you preach, you see, when you're at Kantabak and I preach and I give you bread and water, you receive Christ immediately. So I remember those days we preach. So we'll go 28 in the back. So I used to come like every Sunday, 28, 15, 20. But nowadays it's been a little difficult. And I'm trying to reorganize myself to go back to the field, because Bishop Dwaki Ward Mills says two things. You either assist in the sending, you go yourself, or you do both.
Mm.
So for the longest time, I've been focusing on assisting in the sending, so you contribute to crusades. But I feel as if it's time to go back to the field, because this plenty marketing I've learned, it's about time to use it to convert some new souls to Christ.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that.
Awesome.
And I'm hoping that will come through very well as well for me.
Well, yes. You have actually impacted many lives.
Thank you very much,
in Ghana, and evidently your students and friends and people who have encountered you have sent in very profound words today. And
they should send
in
tithes and offerings. Don't you have a Momo line? Doesn't Joy FM have all these words?
They should send Momo, right?
Yes, don't you have let me send you the Joy FM Momo line. We'll reconcile at the end of the month. Oh, Lexis, why do you laugh? No, because you need to bring an offering.
It just hurts me that I'm about to end this program. But I have to. But yes. To be honest, I mean, you're amazing.
God bless
and you,
sir.
Deserve to be celebrated. And I'm happy that we got the chance to have this conversation with you today.
God bless you,
personality
sir.
Profile. God bless you so much.
Thank you, Lexis.
And may he open more doors.
Amen.
And make you bigger.
Amen.
Than you already are.
Amen.
Professor.
Amen.
Bob.
Thank you.
Ebo Hinson.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Have a good one.
My name is Lexis Bill. This has been a great evening. If you missed any part of this conversation, the video is live on our Facebook page right now. Yeah, when we're done, you can actually share it with your friends. You can actually watch it from the beginning all over again. Okay? And next week, God willing, we're back with another edition of Personality Profile. On behalf of the team, we're really grateful. Very shortly, Uncle Ken is going to be on your radio. I totally can't wait. Thank you so much and welcome. So have a great evening, and I'll be on your radio again tomorrow at 3:00. Good night.